Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's something about childhood innocence that makes a haunting feel all the more chilling. A child's imagination, after all, is boundless. But what happens when their nightmares begin to bleed into reality? A little boy named Jay said it plainly one night. That lady won't leave me alone. What began as a passing complaint quickly spiraled into something his family could no longer ignore. The story takes us back to the early 1990s, to a family trying to start fresh in an old house full of charm, and perhaps a few unwelcome guests, a mother's intuition, a father's skepticism, and a little boy's terror converge in a chilling tale of whispers, footsteps, and an unseen presence that seems to grow bolder with time. Was this a case of overactive imaginations, or did something from the house's past claw its way into the present? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've gone back and forth about whether to share this story. It's been over 30 years since it happened, but even now, just thinking about it stirs up emotions I can't quite explain. Fear, mostly, but also a strange kind of sadness. I'm not sure if I'm remembering things exactly as they were or if time has blurred the edges. Still, I'll tell it as best I can. It all started in the fall of 1991, shortly after we moved into that old house on Cambridge Street. It was one of those big, sprawling homes with creaky floors and heavy wooden doors that never quite shut all the way. My mom fell in love with it the moment she saw it. She said it had character. My stepdad just liked the price. It needed work, peeling wallpaper, drafty windows, but it had a warmth to it, like it was waiting for a family to fill it again. At first, everything seemed normal, or at least as normal as it could be in a house with seven people crammed under one roof. My mom, stepdad, my little brother Jay, and I were upstairs, while my stepbrothers shared a room on the main floor. We spent those first few weeks unpacking, painting, and arguing over who got which room. It wasn't until the nights grew longer and the leaves started to fall that things began to feel off. It started with my mom. She was always the first one up in the morning, usually by 5 a.m., and she said she'd hear footsteps upstairs while everyone else was still asleep. Heavy, deliberate steps, like someone pacing back and forth. My stepdad brushed it off, said it was probably one of us kids sneaking around or the house settling, but she wasn't convinced. Then there was Jay. He was 6 at the time, all wide eyes and messy hair, the kind of kid who'd laugh one second and cry the next. One night he came into my parents' room clutching his blanket and said, "That lady won't leave me alone." My mom sat up straight, but my stepdad barely opened his eyes. "What lady?" she asked. He pointed back toward his room and said, "The one by the window." They took him back to bed, tucked him in, and told him it was just a bad dream. But the next night he was back again. This time he said the lady had been sitting on the edge of his bed watching him. My mom asked what she looked like, and he said, "She's wearing white, her hair's messy, and she's sad." I'll never forget the look on my mom's face when he said that. She didn't tell him, but I could tell she believed him. My stepdad, on the other hand, just sighed and told Jay to go back to bed. The footsteps became a regular thing after that, always at the same time, 4 a.m., like clockwork. My mom started leaving the light on in the hallway, but it didn't help. Jay's complaints grew more frequent. One night, he said the lady was pulling on his sheets, trying to wake him up. Another time, he said she was tickling him. My mom started sleeping with her door open, just in case. By now, the rest of us were starting to notice things, too. Small things, like doors creaking open on their own, or lights flickering for no reason. My stepdad said it was just the wiring, but my mom wasn't buying it. The worst moment came one afternoon when Jay was playing outside. He was in the front yard hitting wiffle golf balls, when he suddenly froze, dropped his club, and bolted for the house. My mom met him at the door, and he looked pale, like he'd seen a ghost. "What's wrong?" she asked. He said, "They're calling my name. They want me to play with them." That was the first time my stepdad didn't have an immediate answer. He just stood there, looking at Jay, like he wasn't sure what to say. My mom, though, She didn't hesitate. She grabbed Jay, pulled him inside, and locked the door behind them. It was clear something was happening in that house, something none of us could explain. My stepdad called it imagination. My mom called it something else entirely. After that afternoon, things only got worse. Jay refused to play outside alone, and he wouldn't go into his room unless someone was with him. My mom moved his bed closer to the door and started leaving a nightlight on, but it didn't seem to make a difference. He'd still come running into their room almost every night saying she was bothering him. It wasn't just at night, either. Jay started saying he could see the lady during the day. Once, he pointed to the top of the stairs and said, "She's there, by the railing." Another time, he said she was standing in the kitchen just watching him. He wasn't scared exactly. It was more like he didn't understand why she wouldn't leave him alone. The rest of us didn't see anything, but we all felt it. The air in the house felt heavy, like it was pressing down on you. The shadows seemed darker somehow, like they were hiding something. And then there were the noises, those footsteps on the landing, the sound of doors creaking open when no one was there. Even my stepdad started to get uneasy, though he still refused to admit it. One night, everything came to a head. It was late, probably close to midnight, and we were all in bed when we heard this loud crash. It sounded like something heavy had fallen in the hallway. My mom and stepdad ran out to see what had happened, and I followed close behind. Jay was standing in the middle of the hallway, shaking like a leaf. He said, "She's mad. She said we shouldn't be here." My mom tried to calm him down, but he wouldn't stop crying. We searched the hallway, but there was nothing out of place. No fallen pictures, no broken furniture, nothing. It didn't make sense. After that, my mom started digging into the history of the house. She found out it had been built in the 1920s by a man named Charles Lowry. He'd lived there with his wife, Margaret, and their two young daughters. From what she could find, it seemed like a normal family until 1935, when Margaret and the girls died in a house fire. The official report said it was an accident, but there were rumors that Charles had started the fire himself. He disappeared shortly after, and no one ever saw him again. My mom became convinced that the woman Jay was seeing was Margaret and that she was tied to the house somehow. She even found an old photograph of the family in a local archive. Jay pointed to Margaret in the picture and said, "That's her." The final straw came a few weeks later. It was around 4 a.m. again, always 4 a.m. My mom woke up to the sound of footsteps, but this time they didn't stop at the landing. They came down the hallway, slow and deliberate, until they stopped right outside her bedroom door. She said she could feel someone standing there, just on the other side. She didn't wake my stepdad. She didn't move. She just lay there, holding her breath, until the footsteps finally retreated. The next morning, she told my stepdad they needed to leave. He didn't argue. It took us a few months to find another place, but by the time we left, even my stepdad admitted that something wasn't right about that house. We never went back. To this day, I don't know what we experienced. Was it Margaret trying to protect her home? Was it something darker, pretending to be her? Or was it all in our heads? I don't have the answers, but I do know one thing. I'll never forget the way it felt in that house, like we were never really alone. Sincerely, Rebecca. There's something deeply unsettling about Rebecca's story, isn't there? A family, already vulnerable from the chaos of a move, finds themselves caught in something they can't quite explain. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, one thing is clear. The events they experienced left a mark that time hasn't erased. Let's start with the psychological side. Jay's age makes him especially impressionable. Children are known to process stress and change in ways that can manifest as vivid dreams, imaginary friends, or heightened sensitivity to their environment. Moving into a creaky old house, hearing family whispers about its character, could easily fuel a young boy's imagination. But what about the mother's experiences? Her early encounters with footsteps and the sense of someone outside her door suggest she was also deeply affected. Could it have been stress, sleep deprivation? Maybe. But that doesn't explain the collective experiences of the entire family, the noises, the crash in the hallway, and Jay's eerie descriptions of the lady in white. Then there's the paranormal angle, the history of the house with its tragic fire and unanswered questions, adds a chilling layer to the story. Is it possible that the spirit of Margaret Lowry remained tethered to the place where her life ended so abruptly? Ghostly activity often centers on unresolved trauma, and if Margaret's death was indeed a violent one, her lingering presence could be an attempt to protect her home, or perhaps warn its new inhabitants. But what about the voices calling Jay's name? If those weren't tied to Margaret, what else might have been lurking there? This story leaves us with a question that may never be answered. Was this family targeted by something malevolent? Or did the house itself hold echoes of its tragic past, reaching out to make itself known? Sometimes the scariest thing isn't what we can explain. It's what we can't. Until next time, stay curious, stay skeptical, and remember, the truth is often stranger than we think.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.